You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Steve Lyons.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast. Alongside Steve Lyons, I'm Holden Kushner. We're going to start the podcast out with the MLB At The Plate triple play, which is where Steve and I discuss three topics that interest us. We'll start the triple play out by breaking down the postseason rotations for the American League playoff teams. We'll then switch it up to the National League and get into the rotations for the playoff-bound clubs and the senior circuit. Steve and I will finish up the triple play with the MLB at the Plate Throw Like a Pro segment, where Steve and I key in on a moment, individual, or team's entire bullpen to open up for discussion. Tonight, we focus on the Cleveland Indians bullpen.
The MLB At The Plate triple play.
Let's talk about the Yankees playoff rotation here, Steve. I don't think Montgomery's going to be a part of it. Maybe he's a long man, if they even need a long man at this point, given the depth of their rotation. But you're going to go, what? Who's number one? Tanaka or Severino?
Severino's number one. And, you know, and it depends. I mean, they can set it up any way they want it right now. They're not really in any danger at all of, you know, missing the playoffs. So they can set up whoever they want to be their number one. You can't really take a chance. That's what we talked about yesterday. You know, if you're a manager of a team, you better go out in that playoff game with the guy that you think gives you the absolute best chance of winning. And you know what? And it's not even your own opinion. It better be the guy that everyone else thinks gives you the best chance of winning, right? Too. Because if
Gray,
you don't and you lose, your job's on the line.
Where's Sonny Gray fit into this? Number three?
I wouldn't mind seeing Sonny Gray be your number two.
And then you move, what, Tanaka to three?
Tanaka back, yeah.
And Sabathia. So you're going three righties and the lefty as your fourth starter.
Yeah, I mean, they don't need another lefty. We were talking about, you know, you're looking at Montgomery there, and they have, you know, he would be the guy, right, if you were thinking they have Jaime Garcia, but that doesn't make sense. It's all about whether you want another lefty. You've got CeCe. You know, neither one of those guys are very effective, so why would you use them?
All right, so that'd be the Yankees rotation. And again, we look over at the Red Sox. We keep talking about this rotation. Sale and Pomerantz, 1-2. Now, do you think Farrell would throw Porcello in the middle just to break it up?
You know, do you have the luxury of just breaking it up in a short series? You know, I mean, you know, one of the guys that kind of really has been coming on here at the end is Erod Rodriguez. So he's mm-hmm. pitched a lot better too, and he gives you another lefty.
So again, you know, is it Sale Pomerantz? Is it Sale Porcello? It's some combination of Sale and then Pomerantz, Porcello, and Rodriguez is going to get starts. Well, that's just the way it is. Who else would start for them?
Yeah, that's,
you're not going to throw Fister out there.
No, that's the guy. Even though Fister, you know, went through a period of time there where he looked pretty good, but I don't know if you can trust him in a playoff game, especially the way he's been pitching lately, and he always gives up about four in the first inning. But, yeah, Pomerantz is, once again, the guy. Is Pomerantz a guy that you have a ton of confidence in when you give him the – what if you lose game one? You give the ball to Pomerantz game two, you're happy about that?
This is why I don't feel that great about the Red Sox. You know, they're a little bit banged up right now. And then you talk about Sale, not the same guy he was in the first half. And Drew Pomerantz has terrific numbers this season. But these are regular season numbers. I just feel like you put as many guys on base as he does in the playoffs, they're going to come back and bite you more often than not.
Yes, they do. That's why it's scary. But once again, when you talk about the numbers and the year that he's had, it would be awfully difficult for John Farrell to say, you know what, guess what, I'm going to give the ball to Porcello in game two. Mm-hmm. He better win. He better, you know what I'm
You're
saying?
Right.
He better
right.
win.
Then you look over at the Astros rotation. I think this is going to be the really interesting one because you're just on talent alone, Lance McCullers would be there. But, you know, McCullers is still coming off the DL again, so it's definitely Keuchel and Verlander. And personally, if I am AJ Hinch, forget about all the things that Dallas Keuchel has done for me lately, I'm going Verlander because he's the best pitcher that you got. I mean, right now he's pitching as well as anybody in baseball, almost as good as Corey Kluber. So almost as good as anybody in baseball. He can match up with anybody. I feel really comfortable throwing Verlander out there game one, game two, Dallas Keuchel. And then you got some decisions to make. Are you going Morton? Are you going Peacock? Are you going McCullers? There are some interchangeable parts there that have to be figured out. Colin McHugh, I guess, is in the mix too. Is Peacock more valuable back in a bullpen again? But he's been remarkable. Charlie Morton to me. I love this guy. I just love the curveball. I love the way he's come on this season. So there's still questions about that Astros rotation. We know who one and two are going to be. Does McCullers end up in the playoff rotation?
Yeah, that's the problem. But it's a good problem to have. Their questions in their rotation is getting guys that you think can do the job enough starts, like, you know, making the right choice. You have three guys, four guys you could choose from. You better make the right choice. You pick a guy and he gets blown up, then everyone's going to say, well, wait a minute, you used McCullers, you could have used Morton. And you're like, well, I thought McCullers gave me the best chance on tonight, and either I was wrong or he just didn't come through. But you know, those kind of choices can get you in a little bit of trouble too. But it would also be, think about it, I like the way you're thinking, but it would be a pretty gutsy move to start Verlander in game one when Dallas Keuchel's been your guy, homegrown guy, been in the organization, and then you go out and get Verlander for a month and he's your ace.
Ooh. He's got a sub one ERA this month.
I get it. I'm not even thinking how good he is.
Hey, I get it. He is my number one. I brought him in here, and Dallas Keuchel, I love you. You want a Cy Young for us, but we're trying to win a World Series here. Take game two. That's going to put us in a great position. One with Verlander, two with you. And then Morton's got an ERA just under 2.5 this month. Peacock's been pitching great. I wouldn't mind seeing Morton and Peacock. Then McHugh and McCullers go to the bullpen. We had some questions about their bullpen. I'd throw those two guys down there and now use them like the Andrew Miller type of thing. If I can get two innings out of McCullers, a couple of innings out of McHugh, all of a sudden I'm sitting there. Kenny Davinsky and Kenny Giles are right there. That shortens the game down. And now I'm starting to think that the Astros got a chance to contend.
Well, you know, the good thing about McCullers, at least he's pitched out of the pen. The problem with using starters out of the bullpen is it's a whole new ball game for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the pitchers today are like, you know, little divas. You know, if they're not coddled and they don't know exactly when they're going to pitch or what role they're in, you know, they have a tough time. And also, you better hope darn sure that Keuchel's the kind of guy that can handle a little bit of perceived slight, because you don't want hurt feelings. You don't want Keuchel running around for 3 days before they throw their first game saying, how is it that I cannot be the opening day starter? The opening starter in a series. How is it that I'm not that guy?
Because Verlander's better than you.
Well, yeah, dude, none of his teammates are going to say that to him.
Verlander's done it a lot more in the postseason than you have.
No one's going to say that to him. They're all going to be like, yeah, dude, I know, man. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, too bad, because we got Justin Verlander for a reason. We weren't. You complained at the trade deadline that we didn't make a move. We made a move. Now you're going to complain again because we're starting
point.
That guy over you?
That's a good point. They made a move, and now he's starting in front of you. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, you asked for the move, so you got the move. Let's go win a World Series, shut your mouth, and go out there and pitch. I got a hard time believing Keuchel's going to let that get to his ego. Come on, man.
I don't think so either, but we've seen it. You know, I mean, the dude's a gamer. You know, he goes out and plays. So I think he just wants to win. I think he knows he's going to take the ball. I think he knows that if you think about it, you're one and two guy. They're both going to take the ball as many times, you know, even if you go all the way through the World Series. So he's getting the ball. And, you know, if it works out better for him that way, I think he's the kind of guy that would say, let's do this.
Yeah, Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer for the Indians. I think that's the 1-2-3 set in stone. Tomlin going tonight. I still love Clevinger. I mean, for me, I think he has been as good as anybody on that staff. And right up there, the numbers-wise, right up there with Kluber, he hasn't thrown as many. But check out these numbers here in the month of September for Mike Clevinger. 4-0 in 23 2/3 innings, a .76 ERA, a .97 whip. He's given up 2 earned runs in those 23 2/3. He hasn't given up a home run. Clevinger has got to be there. Personally, I mean, this is me. Tito knows his team a lot better, and he's the best manager in the game right now. But, I mean, I'm going Kluber, Carrasco, and Clevinger. because this kid has been pitching lights out, and that's another reason why they're the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, it's perceived, oh, they only got two starters. No. Bauer's pitching well as long as he stays away from drones. And by the way, somebody stole one of his drones. He needs to stop worrying about his damn drones. Go out there and pitch. But the other thing is, Clevinger is pitching as well as anybody in baseball right now.
Yeah, so, nobody even gave a second thought to Clevinger.
Yeah.
All those numbers you rattled off about Clevinger, I can sum them all up to you really quick. He went four straight starts where he went six scoreless.
Yep. That's awesome.
There you go. That's not giving up a whole lot, and nope. That's shutting him down.
Yep, absolutely. We talked about the American League rotation. Let's talk about the National League rotations here and just try and figure out who's going with what. And for the Dodgers, it's fascinating. Rarely do you see three left-handed starters, right?
Yeah.
Three left-handed starters, but you got Kershaw, Darvish, 1-2, and then your other two lefties, Alex Wood and Rich Hill. And I'll throw that out there. Good luck beating them. I know the Dodgers haven't been playing great baseball here during the final month, although they're picking it up lately, but my goodness. These guys, when you look at it on paper, especially if Kershaw gets going, that's lights out.
Yeah, that's a pretty tough rotation. The problem is for a lot of teams is that you'll see individual players that hit lefties really well. Like you see it, you know, there are right-handed hitters that just absolutely love to face left-handed pitching. But overall, teams don't like to face left-handed pitching. You know, most teams have a worse record against lefties than they do against righties. And when you're going to rush out guys like Kershaw and Darvish and Hill and, you know, Alex Wood, I mean, these guys, you're looking at Hyunjin Ryu as your fifth starter. He's never going to sniff it.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. All right. So you got four solid starters there. Then let's move down to the number two team. The Washington Nationals. Max Scherzer, I will match him up with anybody. Kluber, Kershaw, any of them. Then you would go Gio Gonzalez, who I think is the third best pitcher on the staff, but he's in the midst of a career year. Strasburg would be their number three, and Tanner Roark would be their four. And I say Gonzalez would start the second game because that's what Dusty likes to do. Likes to break up the lefties and the righties in a rotation. When you got Scherzer, you got a shot. I mean, that he just gives you the shot to win three games in a series if necessary. So in a five-game series, obviously, he's not going to go more than two games. But good luck to the Cubs with that. And then Strasburg and Gio Gonzalez are both having career years. For the Nationals, this is the best rotation of all those terrific rotations they've had. This is the best one they've had yet.
Yeah, do you think that Dusty thinks at all about who he's matching up with depending on who is his number two starter? Is just he's gonna go right, left, right?
I think he goes right, left, right. That's what he did last year. I mean, he's old school in some ways, man. He doesn't want to move Bryce Harper to number two. He doesn't want to just go with your best pitchers. I think he goes right, left, right. And really, you know, the separation between Gio Gonzalez and Steven Strasburg isn't that far this year because Gio's having the career year. But I think Strasburg, I'd feel better going 1-2 with Scherzer and Strasburg if I want to throw my two best out there.
Yeah,
but it's really picking hair with those two guys, with Gio and Strasburg.
Well, it's just right, left. That's your big difference. But, you know, I mean, I like Dusty Baker as a manager. I always have. I like him as a guy. But when you think about it, you know, his old school approach hasn't always served him well when you get to World Series situations. When you talk about kind of letting one go in San Francisco, what was that, 02, 01, 02? Letting one go with the Chicago Cubs, not in the World Series, but against the Florida Marlins. Everyone expected them to get to the World Series. They had a 3-1 lead over Florida with who? They had Zambrano, Pryor, and Wood as your next three starters,
yep.
And they couldn't win a game to get into the World Series. Those are, you know, kind of colossal collapses under his watch.
Well, he wins a World Series. He's a Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Question is, can they? So let's move on to the Cubs. Again, it comes back to Lester, who finally came off a good start, but his ERA is over 5 over his last 14 starts. Not the same guy. Maybe the light turns on during the playoffs. Maybe that just happens. Arrieta not looking great tonight, but again, a frontline starter, pitching for a contract. I still like the way he has looked here. The second start off the DL with the hamstring. I'm feeling great about him. Hendricks, Joe Maddon said he's pitching better than he's seen them throw at any point in time last year. I think Quintana has really been mercurial, up and down and up and down. But you got four starters, two righties, two lefties. And it comes down to what Arrieta and Lester are going to give you. And they'll go as far as that happens. Plus, their bullpen has some issues. But for me, it's right there. Boom, boom. Arrieta, Lester, and Hendrickson. And Hendricks will keep you in a game. Quintana, we'll see if we can keep you in a game. They got to have those 1-2 pumping.
Quintana's not been the same pitcher, you know, when they talked about trading him from the White Sox. The Cubs pick him up. You know, he's looking for that huge deal. I think he's really hurt his stock. I am worried about Arrieta. He's only made 2 starts since September 4th, and he got blown up today. So, you know, when's he going to get extra work? Is he going to make another start? And I'm going to make another start before the playoffs. So next time you run him out there, it's for a game that really matters, and he hasn't looked good in a while. It'll be a month since he's looked good.
Well, didn't he have – he looked decent in his first start off the DL.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. So, yeah, he had a good start in the first one. This one, not so great tonight. Then let's move on to the wild card teams here. You got the Diamondbacks. Zach Greinke, probably going to go in the wild card. So then Robbie Ray goes in the first game if they make it out of that. Ray is 14-5 with a 2.95 and 212 Ks and 155 and a third innings. Taijuan Walker's been terrific. Patrick Corbin, Zach Godley, a couple guys up for postseason rotation consideration. I think Godley would get it there. Boy, that is just such an underrated rotation. Nobody seems to be talking about the Diamondbacks with Greinke, Ray, Walker, and Godley. Man, this is pretty nasty. And if you say in the American League, teams should be wary of the Yankees, and in the National League, teams should be wary of the Diamondbacks, because I think they could beat any single one of these teams.
Yeah, they are deep. I mean, it's a rotation that no one talks about, but they have guys that are solid, and they don't have to worry about it. You throw the guy out there, you know, he has the potential of giving you a really good start. What's the timing between the play-in game and when the league championship series starts? Is it a couple days?
Yeah, a couple days.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gives you a little time, you know, to decide what you're going to do with Greinke.
I think he's starting that wild card game.
Right, but it gives you a little time to decide where you plug him back in to make his first start in the league championship series. Yep. He could go game three then.
He could go – oh, absolutely.
Well, yeah, easily game three because you have the day off in between too, right? I mean, he could go pitches one day, have another day off to game two. Game two would be a stretch.
Here's the deal. If they get past that round – then the Dodgers are going to have to deal with Robbie Ray twice and Zach Greinke. So, I mean, no matter what, three of those potential 5 games, they're going to have to deal with frontline starters. You know, you could have some monster showdowns in that series. And then there's the other teams. I think Milwaukee, terrific. I still think they got a decent shot of getting into that wild card game. But when Jimmy Nelson injured his shoulder sliding, that, to me, really took them out of a postseason run. I've loved their starting pitch. I love Chase Anderson, what he's done. Nelson's taken a next step. Davies has pitched much better. There's the Cardinals. You know, again, Martinez and Luke Weaver and what else? And you're relying on a rookie in Weaver. He's getting up there in innings. Martinez has been so inconsistent this year. And then there's the Rockies. I mean, that to me is the really interesting team, because the starting pitching really carried them in the first half of the season. And there's no doubt about it. It has slowed down as of late. And all you got to do is look at their numbers here in the month of September to try and figure out how they are trending if they do indeed get into the playoffs. And the starters right now, Tyler Chatwood, shockingly, actually has a 2.84 ERA. John Gray has been magnificent, 3-1 and a 2.17. And Tyler Anderson, who goes again tonight with a 1.72. I don't trust Chatwood at home, but if you can start him on the road where he's been terrific, had the lowest ERA road last year, and this year he's been good on the road. If you can go Gray and Anderson and piggyback that with Tyler Chatwood on the road, I could see them figuring out a way to get by the Dodgers. I don't think they do, but I think that's the best path of doing it. A number 4 starter, Freeland, looks like he's running out of gas. Maybe Bettis can do it. He hasn't pitched well. Now, basically, they got three guys that are throwing well and one guy that can't pitch at Coors Field and Tyler Chatwood. So the Rockies, to me, love the offense, love Greg Holland. Starting to sour on the rotation now.
Well, if you can't sink the ball at Coors Field, you can't win there. And so, you know, Chatwood's had a little trouble with that. But bottom line is, if you ask, I mean, even people that pay attention to baseball, if you ask people what the starting rotation for the Colorado Rockies were, how many people could tell you who they are?
You got to watch baseball a lot.
Like
to really
a
know
lot.
Or live in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, some of these guys, you would think, what? Who? What? You know, Jimmy Chitwood? Didn't he make the shot for Hoosiers? What? I mean, what are we talking about? Some of these
well, now
guys.
Now you're just being mean.
And he's been around for a long time. He's a guy that you would know. But some of these other guys, Bettis, Marquez, you know, Gray's been the guy that you talk about too, like who's got good numbers and can hold his own a little bit. After that, how are they doing it?
It's a good question. After that, how are they doing it? Good question. But, you know, they had a great first half and they've slowed down since.
It's time for the MLB at the Plate Throw Like a Pro segment presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. This is where we take a moment to spotlight individuals, key late game situations, or entire bullpens to open up for discussion. It's time to throw like a pro.
Presented by National Car Rental. Steve Lyons, Holden Kushner, MLB at the Plate. Let's throw like a pro here and talk about the Cleveland bullpen, which was ever so dominating last year, Steve. And you know, you look at this bullpen, they return the same guys. Cody Allen's their closer. Andrew Miller's going to set up with Brian Shaw. And I think the thing that really sets them apart this year, look at the back end. The four guys that could, they can run with seven bullpen arms here. And I don't think Danny Salazar is going to be one of them. Nick Goody, Dan Otero, Zach McAllister, and Tyler Olson, who has now thrown 19 shutout innings despite you know, getting into a bases-loaded jam tonight, still got out of it. They have so many arms in that bullpen. They can shut games down after four innings.
You know, show me a weakness here. I mean, they just flat-out don't have one here. I mean, you talk about Olson's a guy. I mean, he hasn't given up a run. You got to plug him in there somewhere. Goody's ERA is 2.70. Cody Allen is their closer. He doesn't even have 30 saves. And you know why? Because they beat everyone's brains in. He's never in a save situation. They don't need a closer very often. I mean, they just bury people. And if you do need one, he's as good as it gets. And, of course, Miller, you know, I don't know how sharp he looked today. He struck out the side. He did give up two hits. And you know, you can say, well, those balls weren't hit very hard. Well, guess what? Facing Miller, you're not really going to square up too many balls. But him giving up hits in situations like that is not a good thing for him. I think he'll come out of it. They want to get him some more work at coming off the DL, make sure that he is ready to go before the playoffs start. What about a guy like Clevinger? Don't you have to have him in your pen somewhere?
He's got to be in a rotation. He's got to be in a rotation.
But what
he's
if he isn't?
He's got to be number four starter.
What if he, well, yeah.
I don't think they need him in their bullpen is my only thing.
They don't really need
Here's
him.
Here's the deal.
But are they going to need him as a starter?
They need him as a starter. They need him as a starter. He's pitching better than Josh Tomlin. So here's my thoughts on this bullpen. Let's start with the guys that nobody's heard of. All right, unless you're an Indians fan or you're following the game. Yeah, if you listen to this show, you probably heard of him because you love baseball. But Nick Goody, all right, 26-year-old right-hander. All this guy has done is come out. He's got a whip of about one. He struck out 72 in 53 and a third innings in 54 games this year. Nick Goody has been lights out, so you need to put him in your bullpen. Dan Otero, who was very successful last year, here's another guy from the right side. 1-2-2 whip. So maybe the walks and hits in the innings pitch is a little high, but he's got 38 strikeouts to just 9 walks. He gets the job done. I mean, you put him in there in the sixth inning, he's going to take care of business. All right, so we move on now. Dan Otero, we got Nick Goody, we got Zach McAllister. Huh?
Yep.
A little Zach McAllister action, 61 innings this year, 1-2 whip, about a strikeout an inning. He does walk a little much, 21 walks in 61 innings. You can live with that. That's not bad. So this is your middle relief core. And Tyler Olson, your lefty specialist when you need to get a left-hander out earlier in the game, has not given up a run in 19 innings this year. So this is four guys. And that doesn't even get you to Shaw, Miller, and Allen, who last year from times were getting you, what, four innings?
Yeah.
Maybe even more, four and one, 4.2 innings.
Yeah, Miller's going to be the key again. I mean, he's going to be the guy that they use in the crucial situation that's not a save situation. And, you know, he's responded again this year when you think about the fact that, you know, he gave up two hits tonight, but he's thrown over 60 innings now. He's given up 31 hits. So he's given, you know, a lot of guys are going out there giving up a hit an inning. He's given up a half a hit an inning.
How many pitchers do you think you're carrying in an AL team? 11? You go 11, 14 position, 11 pitchers?
Yeah, because you don't need the extra starters. So yeah, you don't need the starters, so it'll be all 11. Right. Some teams will go 12.
All right. Well, you could go 12. And if they do go 12, then maybe Danny Salazar has a spot on this roster.
Especially in the, you know, in the American League.
Right. You know, but, so now you're talking about Salazar, who can give you two innings. And listen, I love this guy's stuff. He is so filthy when he is out there. Problem is, he can't stay healthy. And now he's starting to battle command a bit. So I don't know. And they're running him out there as a starter still, giving him a couple innings and a start. I don't even know if the Indians know what they're going to do with him. But if they carry 12 pitchers, so Salazar's got a shot to be on his roster. If it's not Salazar, maybe it's Tomlin, though. Maybe they use Tomlin as the long guy. All I know is, for me, this is the best bullpen in baseball to go along with the one of the best offenses in baseball and one of the best rotations in baseball. This is what got him through it last year all the way to Game 7 of the World Series, and this is the constant again this year. Even though Miller spent some time on a DL this year, he gave up a couple ground ball singles tonight. He, to me, is still the key. Like you said, he, to me, is still one of the elite arms in this game.
Well, no question about it. I mean,
who's getting to these guys?
You're not getting too many arguments out of me. I mean, this is, to me, the best team in baseball right now and has been for a long time. We saw them rattle off more than 20 wins in a row. Their offense is unstoppable at times. They just keep coming at you. And they have too much of everything. They are the most complete team in baseball. It's not like they bludgeon you to death, but they do. But they can also run. They can steal a base. They go first to third with anybody. You know, they play defense. They catch the ball. So, you know, where's their weakness here?
There is no weakness. That's the whole thing. Now, something might pop up while the playoffs come. Weird things happen, but as of right now, there's no weakness in that bullpen. That was Throw Like a Pro, presented by our friends at National Car Rental.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this.
Stay up to date on the latest news as it happens on TuneIn.
From American politics to global events, get live 24/7 coverage with some of the top news media outlets in the world,
including CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio.
And when breaking news hits, TuneIn keeps you updated with up-to-the-minute reports and analysis on the biggest stories of the day.
Thank you for joining us with this breaking news report. Really appreciate it.
Day or night, get live news coverage from around the world on TuneIn.
And now, time for more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Steve Lyons.
There were 15 games on Tuesday, and to bring you up to speed on all the action, we got the best day ever. Home Run Tracker, and statistically speaking.
Best day ever, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
Who's your pitcher today? Who's the best pitcher today?
My best pitcher today is a guy that you like, Jordan Montgomery. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, he went six innings, he only gave up a run. Everyone says, well, who cares? It was against Tampa Bay. But bottom line, this is a big game for the Yankees. They're still thinking that they have division hopes alive. They're down to three games now. The Red Sox are leaking oil. The Yankees continue to play pretty good ball. And even more important for Montgomery, he's kind of fighting for his little playoff identity as well.
Yeah, he might be on the roster as a long reliever, maybe. I'm going with Tyler Anderson, another solid start for the Colorado left-hander. They got a lot of fresh arms, guys that have been, you know, banged up this season, under 100 innings. Tyler Anderson's one of them. So you look at young pitching, you wonder, are they going to be tired come playoff time? Nuh-uh. These guys just rounded into form. One of the better prospects in the game coming up. And here, and he's only got a cup of coffee. He's only got a season under his belt now. 7 shutout innings of 4-hit baseball, no walks, 5 Ks. And the Rockies blasting of the Marlins. Tyler Anderson, best day ever. Who's your hitter?
Well, you know, this is a no-brainer for me this time. A lot of times I search for a little pearl, you know, diamond in the rough kind of a guy, but this is just hitting me right in the face. Andrew McCutchen, 4-for-4, 2 home runs, a double, another base hit, 8 RBIs to go along with his very first Grand Slam ever. What is he? Like, he has more than 200 home runs in his very first granny. Mm-hmm. Came into the day with 79 RBIs, leaves with 87. That's a pretty good day.
That's pretty good. That's very good. All right, so I'm going Teoscar Hernandez, who came over from the Astros to the Blue Jays in the Francisco Liriano deal. And I think this one's going to work out well for the Blue Jays. I thought so when it went down. This guy hit 2 home runs tonight. It's his second multi-home run game this month. He's got 5 homers in his last 5 games. He's got 7 home runs in September. That's a Blue Jays rookie record. He also had a 410-foot shot off of Chris Sale as one of his 2 home runs tonight. Teoscar Hernandez, best day ever. We have about 8 trillion home runs, so I'm going to make this as fast as I can.
MLB at the plate, home run tracker.
Josh Donaldson hit a pair. His first went 387. His second went 356. Eddie Rosario, Howie Kendrick went yard. Starlin Castro, highest exit velo of any home run tonight. 109 miles an hour off the bat. 445-foot blast. Wow, that was a big shot. Andrew McCutchen, grand slam, 3-run blast. One went 412, 105 off the bat. That was a grand slam. The 3-run blast went 358. Domingo Santana's 3-run shot went 394. Scott Schebler hit one 394. Jose Abreu, Brandon Phillips, Matt Carpenter all going yard. Teoscar Hernandez, his first went 410, 105 exit velo. His second went 409, 106 exit velo. So very consistent there from Teoscar Hernandez. Kendrys Morales, Luis Valbuena going deep. Mike Trout's 31st home run of the year went 436. Chris with a C. Davis with the O's hit one 414. Tommy Pham, Trevor Story, Kevin Plawecki all going yard. So did Sandy Leon and Brian McCann. McCann's home run tonight going 417 feet. Edwin Encarnacion's blast went 376. Zach Cozart, Marcus Semien, Cameron Maben all going yard. You had Nolan Arenado blasting one 438, his 36th of the year. The Brian Dozier 3-run home run, maybe the most important home run of the night, went 376. JD Martinez, Jesse Winker, and Randall Grichuk all going yard. Jed Jerko, longest home run of the night. I mean, he went into the upper deck yesterday. Tonight went 450 feet, 107 off the bat. So he is crushing the baseball right now. Delino DeShields Jr. had an inside-the-park home run for the Rangers in their blowout loss. Yonder Alonso, Jason Hayward, Ben Zobrist going deep. Tim Fedorowicz and Drew Robinson of the Rangers hitting one 420. Let's get into the numbers.
Statistically speaking.
All right, Steve. Andrew McCutchen, 8 RBI, one shy of matching the franchise record set by Johnny Rizzo in 1939. Did you know about Johnny Rizzo?
No.
Me neither. I thought Ralph Kiner might have done it, but nope, Johnny Rizzo.
Oh, it was a guy like Clemente or Pops,
yeah,
or someone.
Him too. Rizzo set the Pirates' record for most home runs in a season with 23 in his rookie year back in 1938. And obviously that has been surpassed about a trillion times.
Indeed.
McCutchen's also the 6th player already with 200-plus home runs to hit his first career Grand Slam. Joins Eric Karros, Kirk Gibson, Bob Horner, Jeff Bagwell, Sammy Sosa. That's a nice list right there.
And also, he looks like our producer, Ryan.
Does he?
Yes, he does. Who, McCutchen?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I don't know. I never thought of that. But okay.
Yeah, just like him, except for now he doesn't. Now he cut off all his dreads.
He did?
Yeah, McCutchen cut off his dreads,
oh,
right?
Oh, I thought you said that Ryan did.
Oh, right. No, Ryan didn't.
And by the way, add
Ryan's
one of the home run tracker.
For a long time. Ryan's dreads are like his roommate. He's been working on them for a long time, and they're not going anywhere.
Add one of the home run tracker. Chris with a C. Davis of the O's hit one, and now Chris with a K. Davis of the A's hit his 42nd. McCutchen. Let's see here. What else we got? Josh Donaldson, 4th player of the multi-home run game off Chris Sale. The other 3, Ryan Rayburn, Eric Hosmer, Miguel Cabrera. Miguel Cabrera has been playing with double herniated discs. That guy, man, he's coming. health is coming down hard on him toward the end of his career.
Yeah, it is.
The Nats were what would you want to say about Mickey? Come on, give me something good.
I was just going to say, guy's unbelievable. He's had a tremendous career.
Hall of Famer, Triple Crown winner, amazing career. But we're starting to see, I think, the decline here with the health.
How many more years on his deal?
It doesn't matter.
What I'm saying. Are they going to be paying him to be retired?
Yep. Nats, 26-16 in Bryce Harper's absence, despite only 4.1 runs per game, 11th in the NL. They had an NL best ERA at 3.23.
Pitching.
Yep. Twins could clinch the second wild card with a win or an Angels loss tomorrow. It'll be the first team to make the playoffs after losing 100 games the previous season.
Wow.
Think about that. Yep.
I knew they were terrible last year. I didn't think they lost 100.
They were the worst team in baseball. Just been awesome, their resurgence. JD Martinez, losses. 309, 112 runs, 52 home runs, 129 RBIs over his last 162 games played.
Ooh.
52 homers, last 162 games played.
Guess what? He's going to be coming up here soon, too.
Albert Pujols, 14th 100-plus RBI season of his career, tied with A-Rod for the most in MLB history. So I hope he does it next year because I don't want A-Rod to have any records that are meaningful. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. During the daily 5-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard in the podcast, you have the chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio and Steve Lyons alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.